Everybody, hello again. You've got Jeff and Scott back together again for another week.
I'm back.
All righty. And we've got the iPhone Photo Show here for you. And we have a whole lot of things to talk about. We're going to talk about hard drives failing. We're going to talk about the iPhone Photo team. We're going to talk about various importing and backup issues. But let's start off with the thing that most of us care more importantly about than anything else, which is that new iPhone. Scott, what's the rumor mill saying?
The rumor mill is already talking about the 16 because nobody really wants the 15. Now everybody wants to talk about the 16. But it looks like we're pegging our hopes on a September 15 avail date with a possibility that gets pushed 1 week to the 22nd. So all the analysts think it's going to be the 15th or the 22nd. About half and half is where they come down. We do know this. It's no more than 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah, and historically, Apple always makes the announcement of the new iPhone usually 2 days after Labor Day. So they don't do it the day after Labor Day. They'll do it 2 days after Labor Day. That would be September 6th. And then they have it in stores 10 days later. So it's always on a Friday. So that would be the 15th. And if we're wrong, it'd be the 22nd. The other thing about Apple is they like to have at least 1 week of third quarter results, which are always goosed big time with the release of the new phone. So if it is on the 15th, they'll have 2 weeks.
Yeah, and let's face it, the Apple company has become the Apple iPhone company. If they didn't invent the iPhone, they'd be just a fraction of the company they are today. They've become a mobile phone company. They haven't been a computer company in eons. Combination of mobile phones and services are what dominate the bottom line over at Apple.
Yeah, because Mac sales are falling and iPad sales are falling. And the things that are, actually the iPhone sales are falling too, but that's, you're still talking about 200 million phones. And the services is the big growth area, which is Apple Music and iCloud and things like that. So the new phone is supposed to have a better camera. It's going to be faster. It's going to be sleeker. It's going to be a little thinner, et cetera, et cetera. Four models. I think they're going to have a new name for the top of the line one. I don't remember the exact name, but I can't
wait. Ultra.
Ultra. Okay. With supposedly we're going to have a 10X zoom, we hope, or something like it.
Well, I'll just say this about the Ultra. Here's my prediction. Yeah. Fully loaded, Apple Care, tax included, $24.99.
Okay. Yeah.
It'll be the most expensive iPhone ever.
And again, it sounds bad, but do we use the phone every day, all day long, 365 days a year, 7 days a week? Is there any device that you use half as much?
Nope. I will say this. That's that price that I just put out there is based on my supposition that there will be a 2 terabyte max instead of a 1 terabyte max. Because with the 48 megapixel sensor, and with all the stuff that's going on in the phone, everybody needs more and more RAM, more and more storage. The only thing that I personally care about is the camera. However, there is a rumor that we'll go from 6 to 8 megabytes of faster internal RAM. And if that happens, that will affect back-end processing, and that means the camera. So that would be the other part I care about. I don't care about what color it comes in. I don't care about like invisible bezels. I don't care that the battery life is 28 minutes longer than it was last year. I don't care that it's 18% more recyclable than it was last year. Blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that they'll talk about. I care about the camera and what makes the camera work.
Well, we do care about the battery because we want to use the camera more often.
But we know the battery's already great. So if it's going to be 18 minutes or 28 minutes or 38 minutes longer, is it really going to change your world? No, it's not. Yeah.
Okay. 2 terabytes would be great because, as you know, I was on a big Western trip, 9 states in 30 days, and I had all sorts of backup issues, mostly dealing with the fact that hotel rooms will throttle you in the middle of the night if they think that you're sitting there backing up 50 gigabytes or whatever. It was really problematic, and I lost some files, and I've been recovering ever since and trying to figure out, I have to have a better plan about this for next time, and looking at all sorts of alternatives. And I would like to know, Scott, how you get all your stuff from your phone to the computer. Do you use a cable? Are you airdropping? What are you doing?
Well, I've done extensive testing with the Lightning cable compared to airdropping, and it's a half dozen, 1/6 the other. You would expect it would be faster when you connect the cable, but in my real world test, not much, if any. So I generally go with AirDrop. Now, I'm lucky enough to live in an area where I have, incredible internet access for like $89 a month. My upload speed is something like 800 megs. I have a secret for you that I have employed when I was out on bird photography, things right up until the end here, Starlink. Get yourself a Starlink. The same kind that the people who have RVs have, the portable one, and you don't have to mess with the hotel bandwidth. Just sit out on the patio or by the pool, set up your Starlink, and away you go, Jeff. You will find a much better experience. And Starlink has gotten to the point where it's cheap, it's reliable, and Elon Musk is dropping satellites at a rate of about 50 every couple of days, it seems like. I don't know how we're going to get to the moon. We got to push through all the satellites to get there, but try Starlink.
What do you think that would cost?
It's about $100 a month, somewhere in there. If you travel a lot or you're doing a big job like you're doing, I think it's worth it. And they've lowered the price to buy it and acquire it. That changes all the time. I don't happen to know what it is. I got mine. It was more expensive than it is now by about twofold, but around $100 a month, I think it's a good bargain because it's pretty reliable.
I know our friend Eric Kuna from Kelby One was on a recent big trip. He drove his RV from Florida out to South Dakota, and he got Starlink, and he was doing his live stream with Scott Kelby every Wednesday with no problem, right?
Yeah. Now, every once in a while, it's like everything else. You'll hit a hole where it doesn't work, but it's better than the hotel.
Well, let's talk about importing for a minute, because I tried Lightroom a few times and I found it extremely problematic plugging the cable from the phone into the computer. And I've been trying it again. The basic problem is it wants to import everything on my phone. I can't select the most recent shoot. I'm not sure, Scott, if you use Lightroom.
Well, believe it or not, I occasionally use the Lightroom camera because I think it's pretty good. But I don't use Lightroom on my phone to organize or edit anything because I'm an old man and I can't see anything that small. I need my 34-inch curved monitor. So I don't do any editing on the phone.
Okay.
That's atypical.
Yeah, but I import from the phone. I would like to import from the phone using Lightroom into the computer, but they want me to select everything.
Well, they also want you to put it in the cloud.
Yeah.
They sell Lightroom subscriptions.
Right.
That thing I hate about it is, and why I don't use it, is because there's a constant nag. It'll say, your Creative Cloud storage is full, upgrade now. And for a year, I tried it, and I spent like $9,000 is what it cost me to get all of my files into the cloud. It was ridiculous. I use iCloud. It's a lot more affordable, and I'm not interested in paying Adobe that kind of money. So I'm not much tied up into Lightroom. I never use Lightroom on my personal computer. I use ProRAW as my organizer, raider, and chooser, and then developer.
Okay. Well, one thing I picked up was iXpand, a little heart. It's a flash drive that connects to your Lightning, and on one side and USB on the other side. And I've got that going into my iPhone right now. It's sucking up every picture on my iPhone. But that's one way of getting them out of there. It's going to take forever. Because I have a lot of pictures on there. But this thing costs about $50.
I'd like to try that. But again, my experience has been whether you use a lightning cable or whether you use AirDrop, it's going to be about the same amount of time. Now, is the new iPhone 15 going to have a USB-C connector? Will that USB-C connector be allowed to treat the phone like it's a drive? That
would be nice.
Optimal. And that would be the reason in and of itself to buy the 15.
Definitely. Let's talk about hard drives for a minute, because there was a big article in Petapixel this week that said they will no longer recommend SanDisk drives. And I don't know if the headline was misleading. I think it's 4 terabyte SSD drives that they will not recommend, because a whole bunch of people on their staff lost data on those drives. I have a 2 terabyte SSD drive from SanDisk and a 2 terabyte SSD drive from Western Digital. Both companies are in fact the same, because Western Digital owns SanDisk, which begs the question, hey, Scott, which drives do you use?
Well, I got so many, I can't really count. But I will say I do have 2 of the SanDisk 4 terabyte super fast SSDs. And I paid a lot of money for them. And one of them failed, or started failing, within a matter of weeks. So I would also not recommend them. My go-to drive is OWC. The problem with that is my OWC drive, which is, you know, is really cool, is 8 terabytes and costs $1,599. But it's
for one drive.
But it's rock solid and super fast. You know, sometimes you get these SSDs and you connect them to your Mac and you think, well, everything's going to be fast. And then you end up with latency and you're like, what the heck's going on? I've never had that problem with OWC as long as I use an OWC cable, the OWC drive. But you know, I think this drive that I'm using now is only $1,499, but that's a lot of money for 800 or 8 terabytes. But that's my preference. If you really want to go safe, go with OWC. If you're trying to save money, I would say go with the smaller SanDisk Extremes, because I have used dozens of the 1 terabyte and 2 terabyte versions and never had an issue.
Yeah, I've been okay with them. I do have OWC drives as well, but I didn't pay $1,500. I didn't pay $1,000. I didn't pay $500. I paid $100 or something like that. They are so slow. It could take me 2 days to move a folder from my computer to this drive. So it's pretty bad. I called them yesterday and I complained, and they said, well, are you using a USB 3 cable or a USB 2? And it turned out I had a USB 2. Now they're claiming it'll be faster with a USB 3. I don't believe them. Scott, do you believe them?
Well, I don't know, because the drive I have works strictly on Thunderbolt. And if you have the right OWC Thunderbolt cable, that it is as fast as they advertise. Well, I haven't had any lag.
Okay, I also bought the OWC Thunderbolt 2-drive enclosure, and that comes with a cable. So we're gonna try it out and see how it does. I'll let you know next week.
Make sure you don't lose that cable, because here's my experience. I thought, you know, I've got a million of these cables laying around. When I was installing everything, I put one in, and I had some problems, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, they told me to use the OWC cable. I switched that one in and made all the difference.
All right. Let's at this point remind everybody who's listening to join us at the iPhone Photo Team, which is a website that Scott and I started about a year ago, something like that, maybe a little longer?
A little bit longer, but yeah, it's been going a while.
Well, Scott, tell everybody why they should join us.
Well, it's free. That's the best reason. There's no charge. Jeff and I hang out there. There's also a good community of people who will try to help you. It's not just up to us. The idea was to set this up and empower the community to be able to be stakeholders in it, and that's working pretty well. So visit iPhonePhotoTeam.com, sign up. There's no charge. If you do sign up, you will have access to free ebooks, free tips. We're going to start doing contests again. We got some prizes coming that you're definitely going to want to win. We're looking to try to get some gift cards, some cool things to give away. You cannot win if you are not a member. You cannot be a member if you don't sign up for free. and we don't spam you. You're in complete control of your world there. And no, you know, it's all free. There's no membership charge or anything like that. There's no attempt to upsell you to a membership charge, at least not at this point. We're just doing this for the community. So come on down and post your pictures and hang out and you know, let us know what you think.
Scott has been writing a bunch of articles recently. He did a review of CapCut, which is a video editing app. He talked. Yep. He also offered a really great tip. It was either 2 days ago, though you're listening to the podcast, so it could have been 10 minutes ago, as far as you know. Scott, tell everybody about your tip on you delete a photo, but you didn't really delete it. You can get it back. How do we do that?
Yeah. I actually had an assistant do this, and I said, you know, I think I read the documentation. It's not really deleted. I double checked, and sure enough, it's not. So here's what happens. You're going through your photos library, or you got photos on the camera roll, and you accidentally hit delete, and you shriek and scream at the sky and cry and think, oh no, that was my favorite picture of all time. And then you realize it's not actually gone. Here's what you do. You go over to iPhoto, then you go to albums, you scroll all the way down, and you'll see this cool album you didn't even know you had called Recovered Images. You click that, you're going to have your password or your Face ID to open it. And boom, there will be all the files from the last month that you deleted. And you can recover it by clicking on it, clicking the recover button, and it's back like it never happened.
29 days. I think they stay there for 29 days.
29. I keep getting different info. 29. I believe it's 29. Some people say 30, but, you know, don't push it. Most people, I think, where this is going to be helpful, Jeff, will know in the moment that they accidentally deleted, or within moments.
And interesting, you get nag messages saying you don't have enough room on your phone. Put stuff on iCloud, and if you delete from iCloud, it also deletes from your phone. But they will keep it in a bin on iCloud for 30 days or the equivalent.
Yeah.
Right.
The best workflow is to have iCloud or something like it, a hard drive that's local to your main computer system, and then a hard drive that you keep in, you know, a friend's house in a safe deposit box is what I use at the bank. And I refresh that every month. I take an identical drive in to change places. It's a hassle to go down to the bank once a month, but it's worth it because I have an off-site recovery in addition to the cloud, in addition to what's in the office. I have several friends that say, oh, Scott, I'm backed up. I have two drives here in the office, the same thing. And I said, yeah. So if you have a fire, you're going to lose both drives.
Yeah, may I mention this? Lahaina.
Yeah, Maui. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like all the people in Maui 2 days ago would have said, that's no problem. You know, there's going to be a fire. Boom. The entire business district that I've been to many times is gone. Right. Same as Fort Myers Beach during the hurricane. I used to go to Fort Myers Beach. I used to have a condo at Fort Myers Beach all the time to do bird photography at a little Estero Lagoon. And there was a hurricane about a year, 2 years ago. I can't keep track. There's literally nothing there. The street is gone. The hurricane was so vicious. If you had a house that had two drives in it, you were thinking one drive was a backup of another, you're cool. Guess what? They both got wet. So you want to take something off site. It's not best practice. Better in your car than on site. You know, if it gets too hot or cold in your car, that can be bad. But that's at least better than leaving it in your same location as your house. I would only, you know, for people that, you know, there are people that get fanatical about doing this. I would certainly do it for all my licensable or best photos. And I'm such a freak about this. All my licensed photos, I have yet a separate set of backups for them. One that I keep out of state, just in case there's something regional that's catastrophic.
How big is this drive that you bring to the bank?
It's 14 terabytes, but it's one of those cheap Western Digital $200 14 terabyte. It doesn't have to be fast because it's just a backup drive.
Right. CapCut. You want to tell everybody about using CapCut, which is owned by ByteDance, which is the company that, of course, owns TikTok, which has a really hot free video editing app, as you discovered.
Yeah, I've spent about 12 nanoseconds on TikTok, so I'm no TikTok guy. But you're right, they do own this editor, and they make it available for free. Now, you can upgrade and pay for special features like extra cool titles and stuff. But I've done a lot of video editing over the last 5 years, and I have Final Cut, and I have DaVinci Resolve, and I have Premiere Pro, and I have tons of effects for all of those. But I find myself using CapCut just because it's so easy. It reminds me of the original iMovie, not the fancy one that they put in that kind of screwed everything up, but the easy one they had at first where you just had timelines that you could treat like layers in Photoshop. You drop stuff on a layer and it goes. And they got beautiful templates and beautiful music. And if I can figure it out, literally anybody can. It is stupid proof. I feel it's such a good value that even though I don't see the need to do it, I subscribe to the upsell part just because I felt like they deserve some money. It's really, really good. It's a cap that you can run on your phone. You can run it off of a web client, or you can run it as a standalone on your Mac. I use the one that is a web client and the standalone. I don't do anything on my phone. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. And I hate to say it, I just did this today or yesterday, Jefferson. I'm not a guy that's in love with all these reels. And I looked at my feed and it's full of reels. And I went,
What's
going on?
It's all it is.
Well, guess what? You know why? Because it works. I did a test this week where I put up my first reel. It got 2.5 times the engagement of anything I've ever done as a simple still photograph. So you can complain about it. You can argue about it. It tells you don't like it. But if you want traction, you got to learn how to make these reels, because that's what people click on. That's what people like. That's what people watch. And I was just shocked at the response to it. And I don't know that mine are even any good. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just an old guy farting around with this. But, you know, it was kind of fun. I got to be honest. It's a new way of expressing yourself. And it's the future. So, you know, I'm always a guy who goes with the Wayne Gretzky saying, I want to skate where the puck's going to be, not where it is. And all the old guys my age that don't want to change, they're still in the train station. I'm on the train, baby.
I made 63 of them in July.
You did a great job, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I was doing 2 or 3 a day. And once I realized how easy it was to make them, I used an app called Captions. And that is a $10 a month app, but it was worth it to me. Basically, I hold the camera vertically. I would do everything in one shot, no cuts, just one shot. And I would talk two or three sentences over pictures. And then the captions app would then automatically add the words in a nice looking way. And then I could add pictures to it afterwards. And the whole thing would usually take me about 5-10 minutes to make. So I was very happy with it. And again, you know, same thing as with Scott. The engagement was double, triple, whatever you want to consider. On my YouTube, because I did all these YouTube shorts, it was double what I normally see in a month.
Yeah, you know, it's the way of the future, so you might as well get on board with it and learn how to do it. And there's no excuse, because CapCut is free, and there's about, I don't know, 100 YouTube videos on how to do stuff. Because I was trying to figure a couple of things out, I just searched for it on YouTube, and sure enough, there's like, I wanted to figure out how to put text behind the subject, and there's a video on that. I wanted to figure out how to use the auto beats feature, which is really nice. It does all the cuts for you. There's a video on that. And these are short videos, easy to digest. I highly recommend it.
So your sample video that you did in CapCut is on the iPhone photo team. What's the subject?
That's actually a video about how to do the shortcut to recover your photos you deleted.
Oh, okay. So that was done in CapCut. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah.
You want to talk about NITS? N-I-T-S?
What's,
you're the NIT expert now. Yeah.
I'm a nitpicker. Well, I was just, you know, when I got my iPhone 14 Pro Max, I went outside on the back porch, and I was framing up to do a time lapse of the sunset, as I often do, because I'm on the backside of Olympic National Park. And I was noticing something, Jeff. I was like, wait a minute. How is it that I'm able to see this so well? Because I'm used to glare and trying to fight the glare to figure out how to frame the picture. And I used to have to go underneath the awning on my back deck to get some shade so I could see what I was doing. And I noticed that I didn't need to do that. Turns out it's because maximum brightness on the iPhone 14 Pro Max is claimed to be 2,000 nits. I got this little, believe it or not, $70 device. It's a nit monitor. And I actually recorded 2,230 nits at peak brightness. And now it won't stay that way for long, just, you know, like several minutes, and then it starts to throttle itself because it'll burn your phone up. But, you know, the trick is you've got to turn on auto brightness to get this feature. That's not well documented. And people tell me all the time, well, I don't see any difference. You know, it's a little brighter, but it's not a big deal. You have to turn on auto brightness when you want this feature to work. And you can turn it off later on when you're done. Now, without this feature, it's roughly 1,200 to 1,400 nits, which is still outstanding. In the old days, we thought 400 nits was good. So screen brightness is measured in nits. I have an article on the iPhone Photo Team website if you want your eyes to glaze over and read the technology portion of this. I did a lot of research on this because I wanted to know what I was talking about. And it's pretty fascinating stuff. There's a, you know, this is a very bright screen. And the value of that is when you're outside.
Okay. I was in some pretty rough, really, really bright areas this summer, or this summer being July. I was struggling to see the screen, but I have a feeling it was not, the sun wasn't glaring on the screen for you as it was for me.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Any new products you've been playing with?
Well, yeah, but I can't talk about them just yet. But there's a bunch of exciting reviews I'm going to be working on very soon. There's some pretty big announcements from some pretty well-known companies in the iPhone accessory space coming. I'm under NDA. I can't talk about them. But there's some cool stuff coming, and I will have some of that soon.
I got a new desk lamp from LoomCube that doubles as a ring light. Think about that for a minute. And think about how that's going to work. So I will have that plugged in for next week, and I will reveal all and let everybody know how it went. Let's remind everybody the iPhoneFotoTeam.com for iPhone education, for iPhone community, for photography tips, for questions and answers. You'll find Scott there. You'll find Jeff. You might even find some other well-known photographers coming soon to join us. Right?
Yes, we're going to try to have some people on as guests. So absolutely visit. Be sure that you tell your friends about this and hang out with us. Tell us what we can do that would make you happy, how we can improve, what we're missing, what we forgot about, what we get wrong. We want to hear from you.
And instead of saying to everybody, you could see me here, you could see me there, ditto for Scott, let's just say, see us at the iPhone Photo Team. What do you think?
Works for me.
All right. And so tune in next week. We'll be back with another edition of the iPhone Photo Show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Jefferson Graham. And bye-bye, Scott.
Take care.